B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
5:06 here in the evening, coming up on 5:06. It's technically 5:05. Felger and Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Felger and Maz off-air show returns. Myself and Matt McCarthy, Seamhead, Matt McCarthy, 6 p.m. live on Facebook Live. So right at 6, I run out here, run into the back room. Me and McCarthy will talk a little Red Sox, a little baseball, answer all your questions, off-the-grid stuff, whatever you want. Me and McCarthy, 6 p.m. sharp, Facebook Live. That's a Felger and Maz off-air show. Listen to McCarthy swear like a sailor, like a drunken sailor. He just got a potty mouth. Do that right at 6 o'clock.
He's the iron fist in a velvet glove, that kid.
Soft, he really is.
Soft voice, but boy, he can get hot quick.
Nasty. Nasty individual. You wouldn't know, though. Murray's right with those dulcet tones. Maz's baseball reporter is at 6 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Everything's on the table here on a reentry Monday. All four sports. Everything. Including the Patriots apparently blowing off tomorrow. Because why? Because why? Let's grab Corey here in Orlando, our buddy Corey Pesatore, the accordion champion, calling from Orlando. Go ahead, Corey. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, in the wonderful Orlando airport. Felger, don't forget that I feel like the little train is only me, you, and a couple other people. Like Kyrie Irving, you know, Cavs trade. That's still on the table, so let's not forget that one.
Believe me.
So you guys, Felger and Maz versus Murray here, you guys are saying the statement that proves your point wrong. You keep saying, which is right, that every team has been squandering for 20 years, going all over the place, trying to find the next quarterback. Where's the next quarterback? You know how hard it is, Murray? You know how hard it is? Find it. It's almost impossible. Exactly. It's almost impossible. I went back to 1984, and I found only 18 quarterbacks that I would say are worthy of winning a couple of Super Bowls, star quarterbacks, and I'm even counting Jimmy G for you, Mez. I'll even put him in there. 18, okay, out of about 350 draft picks. Your chances of finding a great quarterback are one in a gazillion. It's not worth even trying. Put all the work into it. When the party's over, we accept it's over, it's done. We're going to 40 years. Who cares? But that is just the way it is. So
it's not even worth trying. So you have the best coach of all time in Bill Belichick, who did it before, presumably. If you're giving us Garoppolo, you don't even want him to even try. That's insane. When you have a chance to have the greatest of all time, pick potentially the next guy and groom the next guy. The grooming to me is almost more important than picking, because we've seen Bill's picking is like everybody else. Hit or miss, hot and cold, win some, lose some. His coaching and development, impeccable, second to none. So why wouldn't you want to get the guy in there with Bill and give yourself the best chance? Wow, how, that's just the most...
Yeah, but why isn't it? It is a luck thing. He lucked out with Brady. Why didn't it work out in terms of his coaching with any of these other quarterbacks?
Again, if you're giving us Garoppolo, he did it again. And I'm not saying he did Brady again, but he drafted a guy who can play and developed a guy who can play.
We don't really know about Garoppolo.
And Garoppolo was the highest quarterback he's ever taken. So that's the only reason I would count Garoppolo and not count Ryan Mallett, because I don't think they're apples to apples. I think one was done with the intention of picking the next guy. But you know what, Murray? Do it your way.
No, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, they did last year. They drafted young guys last year, and they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So what difference does it make? Bills get all the answers. They got Brady. They'll win no matter what. So why are you worried so much about them picking the next quarterback?
No. I just want it for spite. That's all. I'm not worried about it. I just want it to spite you two.
Excellent. Tom and Quincy, how are you enjoying your Red Sox so far?
Oh, my God, Mike. I'm going to lose my mind. Listen, the only thing that's more aggravating than the frustrating baseball that I've watched, which is maybe the worst stretch of baseball I can ever remember in the 40-something years I've watched the Red Sox, is the collective attitude of this team absolutely sucks. And this whole, I can't handle it. They're a horrible team right now. 3-8, you have no business, none, zero, coming out with the comments that you're coming out with. You sound like a jackass, first of all. And when you're willing to just be like, hey, listen, it worked for us before, we're going to do it again, and you have the results like you have right now, it's borderline embarrassing.
It's insane, Tom, isn't it? And again, what sets us apart, Maz, is the tone is being set from the top. I mean, we've all seen teams come off a championship and the players sort of lose their way, and the manager or the coach is sitting there saying, listen, guys, We have to turn the page. It's a new year. You have to reestablish yourself. Last year doesn't count right now. And the manager or the coach gives it lip service and at least says the right things. I've never seen a manager or coach lead the team in this direction, which is why would we turn the page? It worked last year. We're going to do it again. I've never seen that before.
No, listen, you're not going to get any complaints from me. I'm just telling you that, and I understand it starts there. I'm telling you this group's all too willing to go there on top of it. That's all. So, you know, look, I know I'm the a-hole. I told you way back when, leading up to opening day, do you remember what I said? Come first pitch of 2019, I'm done talking about that 2018 team.
They're not.
Okay, so again, but I was the a-hole then, and now it turns out I was right. I was right. What do you know? I was right. How do you know? Wow, geez, what a shock that the season started and these guys weren't ready because they're still hungover, drunk on 2018. Like that, and now, so how many excuses do people want to make for him? This is the crap that's driving me crazy. The manager, as you said, is talking about 2018 ad nauseum. He doesn't want to stop. Why should they? And they're 3-8. Oh, but they had to open on the West Coast. And oh, they had to travel in 11 games on the road. And oh, they don't get their rings until April 8th. And oh, just shut up. Good God, would you shut up? The season started a week and a half ago. Hello? It started.
Here's a Bruins take from Jake in Andover. Let me ask you, Jake, you have confidence in this Bruins team?
I have confidence, but actually I want to talk really quick on the goalies and who you guys mentioned earlier about being the important guys. So goalies, I really hope Cassidy sticks to his thing. Because if you look, Rask has given up 11 goals in the past two games. So I say you give him the start in round one. I am putting him past the Maple Leafs. I know that's possibly they can lose. I have confidence it's against the Leafs. But I have very, very short leash. If Rask looks like crap in the first game, do not give Tampa any motive to keep pushing down the pedal. You have to make a goalie change. And for the important guys, last year Stamkos and Kucherov did nothing against us. So I think the important guys are going to be guys like Heinen, DeBrusk, and whoever scrappy guys that we got, because if they shut down our top line, we're going to need the secondary scoring like you guys continue to say.
Jake, why don't you get past Toronto first? You should have lost to Toronto last year. You got lucky that their goalie crapped himself worse than your guy. It's the only reason you advanced last year. Now you've already gotten a matchup against Stamkos and Kucherov. Why don't you get through the first round first? There's no guarantee there. On the goalie thing, I mentioned it to it earlier. I just listened to Johnson and Flynn over the weekend. They made a good point. I didn't realize it. A recent trend from Stanley Cup champions is using more than one goalie. And it's not like these teams platooned. I'm going to give you a rest and go you one day. No, it's all merit or injury based. But the fact is that last year the Capitals started with Grubauer. I forget his first name. Martin?
Michael, maybe?
I can't remember. They started because Holpe had a scratchy regular season, a bad second half. They started with Grubauer. And for the first two games, Holpe took over midway through the second game and then went the rest of the way. But the Caps started with someone else, not their guy. The year before, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Marc-Andre Fleury got 15 starts. Matt Murray got 10. And again, that wasn't a straight platoon like they were going back and forth. Murray was banged up to start the playoffs. Fleury won the first two rounds, so they just rode Fleury until he crapped himself in the conference finals, and they went to Murray. And Murray finished it off. The year before the Penguins, in 2015-16, when they won the Cup, they used three guys. Does anyone remember Jeff Zachoff? I sure as hell don't. Jeff Zachoff started the playoffs. He started the first two games. Matt Murray played 21. Fleury got a game. And even if you go back to the Blackhawks' last title in 14-15, Corey Crawford got 19 starts, but Scott Darling got four. And again, I mean, look to all these specifics. Some were injuries, some were performance. They didn't just give you a straight platoon to rest a guy. It's not the way that works. But this thing about you have to pick one guy and ride one guy, that's not the recent history. And if you just listen to Bruce Cassidy over and over again, it feels like the Bruins are not going to, if the ship be sinking with Tuukka Rask, they're not going to go down with Tuukka Rask. They're going to try other things and try Halak. So that's just on the table.
I mean, it makes sense. If you don't think Tuukka can play 25 in a row during the regular season, why would you think it during the playoffs?
That's a good point. Not a bad point. Mike in Vermont on the Sox. Go, Mike.
Much to ask that, you know, maybe these guys practice a bunt during spring training instead of working for 2 hours and then going to the golf course. They're making $30 million a year and they can't bunt. And all the announcers do is, oh, it's American League pitchers. They shouldn't know how to bunt. That's bullshit.
Okay, can't use that word.
That's twice today now.
Okay, so what I do find frustrating is those at-bats by the relievers yesterday. Who's the one? Walden?
Yeah, Walden. Marcus Walden, yeah. They called him up over the weekend when they put Johnson on the DL.
Okay, so him, and then there was it, who else got the at-bat?
Either
way, they both looked at strike. They were instructed not to swing. They were instructed not to swing.
Correct.
Which I freaking hate.
Mm-hmm.
Can we play the game?
Yeah.
It's still just a game.
Agreed.
Let the guy swing the bat.
Are they afraid they're going to hurt themselves?
What are you doing?
Yeah, so because Cora went in knowing it was going to be a bullpen game. I'm not telling you I agree with it. I'm just telling you what his mindset was. He went in knowing it was going to be a bullpen game, that they were going to be thin out there, and so he didn't want to needlessly lose a pitcher.
So he was worried about injury.
I mean, I don't know if it was injury or just whatever.
I mean, you want to put the red light on until he gets two strikes. That's fine. Make the starter throw an extra couple pitches. Now you have two strikes and you say, keep the bat on your shoulder? Are we playing a game here or not? Like, this is actually a game. So let him play. Let him swing the freaking bat, even just to miss the ball.
Agreed.
God, I hated that.
Yes.
Is bunting the reason they're off to a slow start?
No. I mean, I think he's talking about the pitchers. Like, you know, do the pitchers do anything in spring training to prepare for some of these interleague games? Which I think is a fair criticism. You knew the third series of the year was going to be in a National League ballpark. You knew. Now that's just a small, very little thing that honestly, on the ass that is the 2019 season, is nothing more than a pimple, for crying out loud. But nonetheless, I look at it and say, they weren't ready to go. Mentally, they weren't ready to go. We can talk all we want about arm strength and velocity and all the other crap. Mentally, they were not ready to begin the 2019 season.
Continue with your thoughts on a Reentry Monday right after these words from our sponsors.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Johnson fumbles. Awkward flip shot from the baseline is no good. Chemi Ojeleye will dribble the Celtics into the front court. So much drama, so much frustration all year for the Boston Celtics. But they are coming down the stretch like the thoroughbreds many people thought they were. They win again, and the showdown, back-to-back Friday night wins for the Celtics over the Indiana Pacers, and they are an inch from home court in the opening round. The final score, Boston 117, Indiana 97.
Thoroughbreds, Murray? Thoroughbreds?
Oh, yeah. We got Seattle Slough and Seabiscuit there. That's what this team has been all year. Secretariat, too. That's Kyrie. Please, bunch of bitchy ponies. And I'm supposed to buy into this? 3-9 against playoff teams. It's the All-Star break. That's who they really are. I can't take them seriously against this undermanned Pacers team that's been gritty and gutty for the most part, and good for them for hanging in there. But that's what the Celtics were the last couple of years. You can only go so far in the postseason with that. And I think we learned more about them on Friday. They didn't give the max effort. Brad Stevens' words, by the way. But they're not good enough. So I'm still not buying in on the Celtics, no. And I won't until I actually see them compete against Milwaukee, who I do think is better than them, even undermanned, because they have the MVP and Giannis, in the second round. Because they're not going to really face any adversity against the Pacers in this first round at all. They're not.
This is true.
I mean, they're playing better. There's no two ways about it. They're playing better. Of course, I do find it somewhat ironic that, you know, 48 hours after Grandy talks about them being secretariat down the stretch of the Belmont, they go out and lose to Orlando. Murray, did you say they lost all four to Orlando this year?
Three. Well, three, yeah.
Three, all right. Right. So three. 0-3 against Orlando.
They really don't have an answer for that Nick Vucevic at all in any of those three losses this year.
So now that aside, I said to you earlier on, they deserve to lose in the first round with the regular season they've had. They still do. They're not going to.
I agree.
They're going to beat Indiana. Okay, Indiana just doesn't have the horses. So Indiana's not going to beat them. I don't know how long the series goes. It shouldn't go longer than five. If it goes longer than five, I give the W to Indiana. Just my 2 cents. Beyond that.
Wait, even if the Celtics win it, I kind of like that.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
Yeah, fake series win.
Fake series win. Yeah.
Oh,
no. Fake win.
I can't wait.
It's going to be five or less. Otherwise, fake win.
Fake win.
You get to the second round by accident.
Bring out the whiteboard.
This is perfect.
Okay, second round. Let's say Milwaukee. You know what justice is now? That you lose in seven and you play game seven in Milwaukee and you lose.
You bet.
That's justice. So the idea that all of a sudden they look like the thoroughbreds that everybody thought they were down the stretch, They don't get to outrun the regular season unless they get to the finals. Because the fact of the matter is they should have had home court throughout.
You bet.
So they don't outrun that. And if they lose either one of those series because they can't win on the road, then that's on them.
Agreed.
So I'm not giving them any...
And then seeding does matter, Kyrie.
Of course. And seeding does anyway. And anyone with half a brain knows it in that league. The only guys that are able to pull it off without it is the true megastars. Not superstars, megastars. LeBron, Durant, guys like that whose teams are stacked and they can win. Or the Eastern Conference blows so badly that they can win on the road in the case of LeBron. That's it.
Back to your phones. As promised, Aaron in Pawtucket on the Red Sox. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how you doing? I just have two quick points. I wanted to know what you guys thought about Eduardo Nunez because I feel like furious every time I watch him step in the box. It's like he has no idea what he's doing and he's all over the place. And then another quick one on the Patriots. If you were Bill Belichick and you had the NFL did a redraft and you had the first pick, who are you taking? All right, thank you. Bye.
First pick from when? From where? I'm not answering that. I don't even know what you're talking about. Nunez.
Yeah, Nunez is what he's always been. He's an erratic player.
But diminishing returns. As a bench player, he's great.
Bingo.
As the everyday guy, every day? No.
No, can't do it. And again, the defense at third base, defense at third is better than it is at second. But Nunez is a bad defensive player. He's a bench guy that can hit. That's what he is. That's what he's always been. He is really not the problem.
Steven Bellingham on the Patriots and their future. Yes, Steve. Steve, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. You hear me?
Yep.
Real quick, you brought up a good point earlier about, you know, the way Cora doesn't want to turn the page. And I can't remember what interview it was that I was listening to, but I don't remember if it was Giardi, maybe Karin, but they asked Belichick, you know, what was the hardest part of continuing success? And he always said getting the guys to go back to before they were successful.
Exactly.
And I thought that was funny that Cora... He says, you know, we don't have to turn the page, you know?
Oh, it's insane. It's insane. And Bill's the best I've ever seen at getting a team to reset and focus.
Because he's smart.
Leave last year behind and not rest on laurels, and you have to reestablish. And, like, God, he gets them to buy in like no one I've ever seen. But, so if the Red Sox aren't as good at that, that's fine. No one's as good at that. But can you at least say the right thing? The manager, the leaders of the team? Can you stop saying we don't want to turn the page? Like, that is just so opposite of anything I've ever heard from any coach or manager in my life.
Because it is. And again, Cora should take the brunt of it. I'm just telling you that I don't think it's just him.
Well, you're saying the roster's
susceptible to
having the wrong approach.
Yes, because Cora could be saying all those things, and I'm telling you that these players would do the same thing. That there are a bunch of guys, a lot of whom had never won, that wanted to win a World Series to shut everyone up. Then that happened, and now they feel like nobody can say anything anymore. And they neglected to realize that you actually have to show up and go back to work. That the life actually does go on. That when you win a championship, time doesn't stop, and you just get to cash the checks for the rest of your life without actually playing. Doesn't work that way.
Wayne and Grafton, what do you got for us today, Wayne?
Yeah, Mike, I'm sitting here encouraging myself. I'm one with the universe, like Alex Cora, but I think it's an alternative universe. And Kevin Miller, he's off the ice more than he's on the ice, plus a bad contract. And as far as the Canadians, it gives me movement that they're not in the playoffs. And Murray, I have a link that I sent to you earlier that applies to all the Canadian fans. It's from an old 50s show, and the phrase is plunk my magic twanger, Froggy. Look up. I sent it to you. Yeah, peace out.
We don't endorse ethnic slurs. We don't. Even for people from Montreal, we don't do that, Wayne. But the Montreal thing, don't get me started again. The first comment he said, though, about Corey, give us like four things, of course. This has been my favorite quote of the year so far from the Red Sox. This is from the manager. Quote.
I saw this morning, and I did. I just started laughing out loud.
I mean, listen to this. Who talks like this?
I texted this to myself to make sure we talked about it. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I can show you the text if you want.
No, you don't have to. Alex Cora, quote, I've been encouraged by myself. Just there, just stop. I've been encouraged by myself. I've been able to sleep well and stay calm on all that. I know a lot of people were questioning that. How's he going to react to a tough stretch? So he's congratulating himself for not losing his marbles after 11 games. I've been encouraged by myself. Who talks like that?
Kyrie.
Kyrie does, for sure. I've been encouraged by myself. I'm pretty damn impressed by myself, I got to tell you. You know what? I'll be honest. I freaking rock. Quote, yep, I'm awesome, said Cora. Quote, I've been encouraged by myself, the manager said. Ay, ay, ay. I haven't been. Because every coach, manager I've ever seen in any sport, when their team wins a championship, shows up the next year and says, we have to reestablish it, fellas. But not you, Alex, not you. You've said consistently from day one, why would we want to turn the page? We don't have to turn the page. You said yesterday, turning the page doesn't make sense for us. Turning the page doesn't make sense for us.
No, no, because we're so good.
I mean, that is insane. That a manager or coach is saying that. Tony and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony, on the Patriots.
I got to tell you something. You guys are unbelievable.
Thank you.
First of all, Brady's not in town. Second of all...
Well, so hold on. So wait a minute. He can't be in town?
Why should he fly in from California for this?
It's a pretty cool day. It's a good Boston day.
It is a cool day. It is. It's going to be very cold out tomorrow.
So wait, he's just in California because it's cold?
Well, I guess he's not playing in the playoffs then.
Come on, you guys. And then Kraft would take away from the day because of what's over his head. So he's smart to stay away. And Belichick, I don't know what he's doing. But again, but forget about that. You guys with the Red Sox, 162 games. They had a 3-5, 3-6 stretch last year. They started off 17-1. I mean, these guys, you think that they're robots or something. They're human beings. You guys don't have the greatest show every day either.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Most of the time you do.
Here, let me give you a quote. I'm pretty encouraged by us.
I mean, Tony, when I look at our show, I try to look at it in the analytical and be subjective and objective. Just my two cents. I try to be, you know, as honest as I can on every level imaginable.
I'm guessing that Tony found it unfair that the Red Sox had to start the season.
Well, no, but so here's the thing. Like, if they get off to a slow start, hangover, like, okay, 5-6, 4-7, okay. 3-8 and saying we don't have to turn the page?
And if it wasn't for Mitch Moreland, by the way, they'd have one win coming home tomorrow.
If it wasn't for Mookie's ball hitting the bag, they'd be 0-11.
The approach is what's sort of frustrating. They don't feel they have to turn the page off of last year, that they can just automatically be the same thing as they were last year. That's just the wrong approach.
No, listen, again, it's a cavalier attitude. They had it all offseason. They dismissed the value of the bullpen in terms of the roster building, which is fine. Thus far, it's worked. Let's see how that one plays out in the long run. But to me, it felt like a team that didn't put emphasis on the start of the season. That's all. And look, call me stupid. And again, you wouldn't be the first. There's a long list of people that have done that, which is fine. I personally believe in strong starts and, you know, and good finishes. I believe in that. The 2004 team started strong and finished well. The 2007 team started strong, didn't finish as well, but they were so far ahead it didn't matter. They get their pitching in order. Okay? Like, you know, I believe in that sort of pace to a baseball season. I would like to find, and again, I'm sure there's one recent, but my experience has been that teams that have really bad Aprils don't win. Just my two cents. I'll go back and look.
That sounds like a nerd call.
I haven't done any sort of historical analysis of it, but this is, again, prior to this past week, there were the last two Red Sox teams to start 1-5 or worse were 2012 and 2011, which we would list among the two most disappointing teams in the last 10 years. So you be the judge. I'm just giving you the numbers.
Okay, here's Murray's update. We come back with one more segment, long segment, of your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Board.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Ground ball is short. Bogart's on target, and that's the ball game. The Red Sox win it 1-0. So they will come home after winning the finale, staving off the sweep here today
And next stop will be Fenway Park and the ring ceremony on Tuesday. It will be so nice to get back home.
And the Patriots are going to be there tomorrow featuring Brandon King, Matthew Slater, Ryan Allen. Who else? What are the...
Well, Gostkowski probably wouldn't be there because he's not signed.
He's not under contract.
Not on the team.
If I were him, I wouldn't go.
No Kraft, which I get. Again, I get no Kraft. Langlo, fine. No problem. No Belichick, no Brady. What are we doing?
Cordero Patterson showing up, kick returner?
What's the point? What's the point of that? And why wouldn't they show up? And don't tell me it's some sort of retaliation. Don't tell me that. Like, did the Globe force Robert Kraft to go to that massage parlor twice in 12 hours? 14 hours? Did John Henry force him there under gunpoint? Are you playing the victim again? You mean unfairly victimized? Is that what's going on?
Well, again, the Brady thing, as I found out, so Brady was there the last time that they won the title and was out, but that article that ran that looked into his finances and whatnot, when they ultimately ended up banning him, Bob Holder and the Globe from the Best Buddies event, that was weeks after the home opener.
So he had already gone to the home opener, and then the Globe published that thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that story was unfair. I mean, you understand what Brady was doing there?
Yeah, but if I'm Tom Brady, I look at you as a rabble-rouser and a giant pain in the ass, and I want nothing to do with you. So screw.
I call you doing your job. His kids go to private schools, right? Like, my kid goes to private school. You're lucky enough to go to private school. You pay exorbitant money, and then at the end of the year, they still ask you for money for fund drives. So they ask you for money. Those are charitable donations. So Brady would take charitable donations from one thing and then give it to the school. Like, I don't know. That's a fair story. Is he going to hold it against him for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fah. Seriously.
I mean, I don't know if that's it or they're just getting tired of the stuff that comes with winning. It's a lot of days at Fenway Park to throw out the first pitch, right? And now Tom rather be on a boat in the Caribbean somewhere or wherever.
I don't blame him. Fly in, fly out. It's a cool day.
I'm not telling you I think it's right. I'm just telling you that it could be any one of a number of things, but either way, it's not important for him to be there anymore.
Phil in Malden on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I blame their 3-8 record on going back, looking at spring training. They didn't have a lot of split squad games, and their starting pitchers, we didn't get to see much of them. And I think Cora made a big mistake not pitching them at least 3 or 4 innings.
Okay, so that's an easy one, and that's sort of explainable, cause and effect. And I don't, them going easy the year after makes total sense. They went too far. Certainly they went too far.
I mean, to me, that's it in a nutshell. They backed off too much.
They went too far. And it ties into it. My bigger thing is we're not going to turn the page. It's just a horrible mindset, but it sort of plays into it, right?
Yes, it's part and parcel. To me, same topic. Yes, absolutely. Like, they're still hung up on that whole 2018 thing. Like, the more they talk about it, that comment from David Price that we have played about him saying, like, this is the same team that won last. No, it isn't. It isn't the same team. This is the point. It's a different year. Everything starts at zero. Everything for everybody. They are talking like a team that just because they won, they think it's going to be different. It's not.
Warren in New Hampshire on the Patriots' future. Yes, Warren.
Yeah, concerning the draft with quarterbacks, your argument against Murray is, we got to do that. We got 10 years to go. I'm with Murray 100% for the simple reason one word, Garoppolo. So your own argument, and Maz should agree with me on this, you got rid of the guy. You had the guy, and you got rid of him. And now we're going to draft some quarterback. Let Brady get two more. And go for it.
Oh, Brady can play as long as he wants and win as much as he wants. What's wrong with planning for the future? You have a 401k, Murray?
Yeah. I'd rather have all the money now, though. They force you to take it.
They don't force you, but, you'd be stupid not to, right?
I suppose.
Do you plan for the future at all? Do you have any savings? Do you have a savings account?
I do.
Okay, so?
But it's rainy day fund.
Yeah,
like,
no, but
something
no,
goes
no.
wrong.
Why don't you totally, extinguish the
oh, believe you me, if the lady wants to like go to France or something and it's going to cost what's in the savings, bang, we're going to France. I don't give a rat's ass. I got credit cards.
Come on, Murray, you don't believe you
can't,
that.
Mike, 100% I do. You can't take it with you. I don't plan for the future.
No,
the next day, literal tomorrow. That's it.
Don't you want to leave?
I believe him.
Don't you want to leave your cat something? When you get
the cat died in November, Mike.
Oh, but you're going to get a couple more. You're going to get more.
Did you get two more?
We're planning on it. Maybe. Who knows? But again, that's for tomorrow. Like down the road, who knows? Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. All I know is I have today.
Oh, I can't wait. And God forbid if this ever happens. I don't want this to happen. That you're sitting here with Tommy Hotson at quarterback because you screwed around at the position to get one more, to get 7 versus 6, and now you're sitting there with some scrub, and you're 4-12, and you have nothing to do on Sunday. You don't get it. You've forgotten what that's like.
I mean, that would be negligent if you ask me. Just my 2 cents. You got to go, 5-11 with Danny Etling at quarterback.
I went on a little rant before against the Montreal Canadiens. I do it every year. They're X'd out of the playoffs, which comes quite a bit now, frankly. Missed the playoffs. Well, Claude's missed the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years. I think Montreal's missed it 3 of the last 4. The one year they made it, they were 1-done. So I got a little fan thing about Montreal. I let it out earlier. Mike and Woburn wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Mike.
In honor of our dearly departed division rival, in lieu of flowers, please make a donation to the Montreal Children's Hospital in the name of P.K. Subban.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Like I did, because that's why they traded P.K. Subban, because he made a $10 million donation in his own name without linking the team to the Montreal Children's Hospital, and that was too big. He did not include the Canadiens. So he must go. And then you've got guys like Mario Tremblay, who not only ran Patrick Waugh out of town, but started a rumor that who's the center they traded for Max Domi, that he had a little substance abuse problem.
Yeah.
And let that out into the ether. That town, they cannibalize their own team, and it can't be any more delicious to watch. It's amazing. I love it. I don't get tired of it. And especially because you got idiots like that guy calling about 24 rings that might have seen 2 of them. Maybe.
Exactly. Last one was 93. 26 years and counting. Good job. Keep counting your rings up there. The arrogance, the pride run amok up in Montreal. Gets them every time. Trade your best player because what? He didn't include you in his donation to the Children's Hospital? Or, whatever. I did the Montreal thing before. I'm not going to do it again. Bon voyage. See you later. And all the Claude people, too. All the Claude people. How's your coach? He's missed the playoffs 4 out of the last. Have you ever seen a coach miss the playoffs more than Claude Julien and get more credit for being a good coach? And I think he's fine. I don't think he's horrible. But maybe I have to reassess that. He's missed the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years. And the year he made it, he took over a team in stinking February that was in first place. That's the only time in 5 years Claude has made the playoffs. He took over a team already in first in February. And they were 1-done.
And meanwhile, the Bruins have the second best record in the league.
Good God. Where are all the Claude Julien people? Where are all the Claude people? Well, I don't hear from you anymore, do I? You and the Rondo people are in the same place. Jack in Hampton has something for us. Go ahead, Jack. What do you got?
Oh, it's me.
It's you, Jack. What do you got?
Hi.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Doesn't feel like you're quite ready to roll. John in Brockton, you ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. So, how is the Patriots going to do this season, do you think?
Okay. Doesn't feel like he was quite ready to roll either, dude.
Did he bark?
Yeah, I don't know. Table's gone cold, though.
What was? Can we play that again? I want to hear that. I think that guy actually barked. Oh, okay.
Something caught in his throat, I believe.
It sounded like a bark. I think it was barking at us.
Want to just try one more?
Sure.
Charlie in Arlington. Hi, Charlie.
I'm not buying this drivel and this thing you're trying to peddle about the mindset matters so much. So you really think that Mookie and Jackie Bradley were like, hey, you think our mindset about not turning the page? Well, wait a minute. Oh, let's drop the ball. Seriously? So you think that affects like the pitch selection that David Price makes or Rich Porcello or Rafael Devers making an error? I mean, it's nonsensical.
Well,
it really is.
Charlie?
It is.
Charlie,
yeah.
Not every pitch, like not turning the page, but overall, when you come out in a 2-week malaise and play play like you have and the way they have for 2 weeks overall?
Quantify it. They're three and eight,
Charlie, and they're talented.
Quantify how the mindset is causing them
3-8
to not win games.
3-8
Give me specific.
3-8
3-8
They played 11 games and won three of them.
Hey, and by the way, Tony, why don't you try working from 12 to 4 a.m. every morning and tell me how you feel the next day for like 11 days?
Wait, so the West Coast, is that the deal? I would hate working from 12 to 4 a.m.
Start time. Well, I mean, my wife kind of does it. She gets up at 2:30.
But I can tell you this. I worked on the West Coast plenty of times. And I don't remember sucking as bad as they sucked on the West Coast. Okay, I'm not telling you that the quality of work I produced was always great. In fact, I tell you, most times it was probably substandard.
Well, no, but they don't start at midnight. They start at 7.
Yeah, I mean, but I think I get his point. He's actually going 3 hours early or whatever. I get his point.
These babies whining about this road trip.
Oh, God, please, just stop.
They're 3-8. Quantify it, they're 3-8.
So Charlie obviously believes that everybody is always operating with the same level of focus and commitment. I mean, that's what he believes, right? That he says quantify it. What he doesn't mean quantify. He means give me specific examples. And I will tell you that human beings go through periods where sometimes we're more motivated and focused than we are at others because of a variety of circumstances. And most people, after they succeed at something and get any level of comfort, they start to lessen up, you know, lighten up or lessen up a little bit, and the focus wanes, and they're not quite as dialed in as they were before. So why is it so stupid to say that about the baseball team when they're 3-8?
No, it is. I think it's kind of smart. I'm actually, to quote someone that I know and respect, I'm kind of encouraged by yourself, Maz. Once again, final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Okay, reminder quickly, Felger and Maz, off-air show, myself and Matt McCarthy on Facebook Live, coming up in 2 minutes. See you on air in 2 minutes. Go ahead, Murray.
All right, so one piece of sound to play today as we're talking about the Red Sox as they wrap up their awful road trip with a record of 3-8. One of the things that might have been overlooked that we didn't talk about was Bikini Gate.
Oh, God.
Something that happened in Oakland that caught Maz's eye.
There was a cutaway of Brock Holt on the field. I want to say he was in the Oakland series. And I think there was a chick in the stands wearing a bikini. And the Red Sox were getting their asses kicked. And Holt sort of looked like, pointed out to someone, hey, look at the bikini. And it bugged the crap out of me.
Is this true?
Yes.
Can we get confirmation on this,
yes,
please?
I'm telling you.
I saw you tweet about this. I didn't catch it, though. I was watching it at the same time. Maybe I looked away.
So now I got to go find it. Because it feels to me like, you know, oh, we got this thing. It's in the bag. Like, and naturally, no one's going to believe me. But if there's someone out there that saw it, I would love to hear from you.
The cutaway with Holt, I remember, is...
He said bikini. That's what he said. Bikini. He pointed and said bikini. He said one word. It was bikini. I guarantee it.
Okay. I hope you're not talking about... There was a game where Vasquez was out, Swihart was behind the plate, and he took a foul ball off the groin, I thought, or somewhere, and was all banged up. And Holt was somewhere. He was in the infield. And they cut to him, and he was going like this. No, and laughing, like, I'm not catching. Because he's, I guess, the emergency catcher?
Wasn't that.
Okay, you sure?
Positive. Positive.
Did they show the guy on the stands?
No. They just cut away to him. They were talking about him, and he pointed to the stands talking about some chick that was wearing a bikini.
How do you know that?
Because he said bikini. What else would he be talking about?
How do you know he said bikini?
Because that one I could read. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I'm going to find it. It bugged the crap out of me. I guarantee
if anyone's going to know someone mouthing bikini, it's Tony
Nazareth. I know,
Nazareth.
That's why, a dirty old man.
I'm not going to doubt him there.
I mean, had he said thong? I'm telling you, okay, he said it.
We went back and looked at it.
We found it.
It looks like bikini.
It does look like bikini, but that's not, we don't know he said bikini.
Okay, I'm willing to bet he said bikini, but it was the play you were talking about when
it was the same series of cutaways.
Yeah, there was a foul ball that hit Swihart right in the onion. He doubled over. He was writhing in pain, and they showed Holt, and he said, no, I'm not going in to catch, right? No. And then they went back to him later, and while they were waiting for Swihart to get his marbles collected, he pointed out to the stands, Holt, and pointed out some chicken in a bikini. I thought, oh, this is great.
And baseball. Then he has a big smile on his face, too. So yeah. That shows it's bikini.
Baseball reporters coming up next. Quickly, Mass.
Okay, so we're going to start with the season overview to this point. Red Sox have the home opener tomorrow, and I want to revisit some of the particulars from the weekend series with the Diamondbacks. But we'll start with the big picture. First trip is in the books, 3-8. How do you feel about it?
Okay, Maz on the air right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Me and McCarthy on Facebook Live right now. No commercials, update, then you get Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.